Good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Coulter, and I work at the Education Development Center, which is located outside of Boston, more commonly known as EDC, and I am currently an MPH student at the BU School of Public Health. That's Boston University School of Public Health. All the authors on this, including myself, have no financial relationships to disclose. And today I'm going to talk about the Metro West Adolescent Health Survey. It's a 10-year initiative in the Metro West region of Boston that was started in 2006. It's funded through the Metro West Community Healthcare Foundation, and it's a biennial survey based off of the CDC Youth Risk Behavior Survey, or YRBS. It's a little bit different than the YRBS because we customize it for the region, emerging needs that we see happening, but we also allow schools to customize their surveys. They're allowed to add up to 20 additional questions, which we provide to them, and it addresses local and emerging needs within their community. The main purpose for the Metro West Adolescent Health Survey is to inform school and community planning. We provide schools with a very thick report that has data tables in it, data charts, and introductions to different sections. And we also provide executive summaries, which are a little bit more helpful for the teachers at first. We provide charts that compare the school district with the region as a whole, with Massachusetts as a whole, and with the United States as a whole, so schools can really know where they stand in relation to those things. We also provide trend data. Because this is a 10-year initiative, we have benchmarks at 2006, 2008, and now at 2010. We also provide patterns for them between genders and between grades. A majority of the schools have taken this information and presented it to their school boards. It's also been presented in health classes to students and to community groups and parents alike. It's also been used for professional development among school staff. Moreover, it's done things for the schools that they never could have expected. It's been able to help teachers gain more health teachers on their staff. Some schools have hired more health teachers and guidance counselors. Further, it's helped local foundations plan their RFPs. This foundation that funds this put out an RFP for bullying so that middle schools and high schools alike can start implementing programs. Overall, this has a huge impact at the local level, much more than the Youth Risk Behavior Survey does for individual school districts. Our survey sample is over 20,000 high school students. It was a census. It's not a random sample of students. Everybody that's there on the day of survey administration can voluntarily take the survey. It's completely anonymous, and students feel a sense of confidentiality with the survey. Overall, there was an 88% student participation rate within the region, and the map is the state of Massachusetts, and there's 25 school districts highlighted in blue, as you can see, is the Metro West region of Boston. 22 out of the 25 school districts participated in the fall of 2008. Overall, the demographics by gender are pretty balanced. By grade, it continues to decrease as students get older, which we would expect. This is a pretty affluent community, and it's relatively white. 3 out of 4 students are white. And, of course, it's primarily straight. 93% of students are straight, but because this is such a big sample, we have over 1,200 students who did not identify as straight. So we'll look at that later. Today we're going to look at bullying as it relates to psychological distress within this survey. We look at bullying victimization on school property, bullying perpetration, self-identified cyberbullying victimization, self-identified cyberbullying perpetration. And then we use 4 outcomes of psychological distress: depression, self-injury, suicidal ideation, and suicide attempts, all within the past 12 months. This is obviously a timely topic because we're seeing headlines like this in our newspapers and in our magazines today. It's being talked about. Bullying and cyberbullying is being talked about on news channels and talk shows. And it's clearly an issue for today, as President Obama's talking about it, and we know that there's been many suicides within the last year or two, and especially within the last couple of months, primarily among LGBT youth in the past couple of months, but it's also occurring among straight youth. This is how we define bullying. We define traditional bullying as being repeatedly teased, threatened, hit, kicked, or excluded by another student or group of students. And we define cyberbullying as using the internet, phone, or other electronic communications to bully, tease, or threaten. These are the prevalence of bullying behaviors in the last 12 months in the Metro West region of Boston. 29% identified themselves as victims of bullying, 27% as perpetrators, and 16% of the population were victims and perpetrators of traditional bullying. In the parentheses there, you see the ranges, and those are the ranges by school district. In cyberbullying, it's a little bit less of a prevalence than bullying, but we see that 16% are victims, 11% perpetrators, and a combined 7% are victim and perpetrators. This is a graph, a line graph of bullying by grade. We see that the green line is traditional bullying, and that decreases pretty tremendously as students get older. Bullying victimization, excuse me. But if we look at cyberbullying, which is a little less prevalent, it doesn't decrease as much over time. In fact, it stays relatively static. If we look at the prevalence of bullying behaviors by gender, we see that females are more likely to be victims of bullying and cyberbullying, and males are more likely to be bullying perpetrators and cyberbullying perpetrators. So for the remaining of the presentation, we're going to look at cyberbullying. We split our cyberbullying variable into four different groups: those who were neither victim nor perpetrators, those who were victims only, perpetrators only, and victim perpetrators. We're seeing similar results among the cyberbullying trends by gender. Females are more likely to be victims only, and males are more likely to be perpetrators only. But the unique part is if you look at the 7% in victim perpetrators, 7% of males and 7% of females are in that group. And we'll come back to that group later. And as we look at it by sexual orientation, we see that straight students are more likely to be neither victim nor perpetrators of cyberbullying, and sexual minorities are more likely to be perpetrators of bullying. They're also more likely to be victims only, perpetrators only, and victim perpetrators. Especially in the victim perpetrators group, they're more than three times as likely to be victim perpetrators of bullying when compared to their straight counterparts. Now, as we look at these four groups and their association with psychological distress, we see that victim perpetrators have an increased psychological distress outcomes across all the different measures. They're higher than any other group. Victims only and perpetrators only are the next up, and neither victim nor perpetrators have much lower rates of psychological distress outcomes, including depression, suicidal ideation, self-injury, and suicide attempt. When we adjust this for potential confounders, we see that, again, the victim perpetrators have a much higher odd ratio of the psychological distress outcomes that we're looking at. Then again, it's the victims only and perpetrators only. And, of course, our reference group is the neither victims nor perpetrators. What's particularly important here is if you look at the suicide attempt column, you can see that victim perpetrators are 7 times as likely as neither victim nor perpetrator group to commit suicide or to have a suicide attempt. And this is exactly what we're seeing today. And again, 7% of males and females were victim perpetrators of cyberbullying, and 20% of sexual minorities were victim perpetrators. So this has profound effects. Bullying and cyberbullying are associated with increased negative psychological distresses, as I've just shown you. And the Metro West Adolescent Health Survey is a very unique survey, which helps school districts plan their data, gives them a good foundation of what's happening in their schools. And it's then up to the community and the stakeholders to then plan to help to improve these health outcomes. Thank you.